Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah's daf Yud Gimel. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of Lerner Zecher Nishmas Losib and Zaltzman. We are on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're at the two dots, Nedarim. Okay. This has been a long journey since we started the first Mishnah in the Masechta. Today's 13th daf already, and we're still on the topic of Rosh Hashanah's, four Rosh Hashanah's over the course of the year, four times a year, where it's the beginning. Just relative to different activities and different events. So we talked mostly about, half the time since the beginning of the Masechta, we spoke about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, significant time for documents, for dating documents, for Yontif, for Regalim, for Baal Teacher. Okay, the beginning of Elul is going to be Rosh Hashanah for Maisa Behema, although that's subject to a debate. According to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, it's Echa B'Tishrei, which happens to be the halacha. Then Echa B'Tishrei, the first day of Tishrei. So it's what we colloquially refer to as Rosh Hashanah. That's the and that Rosh Hashanah is significant for Shanim. Now, what Shanim is, so that already, as we pointed out, there are three opinions in what exactly Shanim is. One is that it's, again, documents and the dating of documents. What's the difference between Tishrei and Nisan? So as we already discussed, so Tishrei is for the Umos HaOlam, and Nisan is for Machi Yisroa. And that's one possibility. Another possibility is that Tishrei is a reference to Tkufos, that when we figure out the constellations and the Molad of the moon, so we assume that the world was created in the month of Tishrei. We spent yesterday talking about the fact that that's very controversial. That's subject to a major machlokus when we assume the world was created. Was the world created in Tishrei? Was the world created in Nisan? So that we already saw was a major machlokus between Tanaim, between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Our mission is reflecting the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi Yoshua says that the world was created in Nisan, and the Gemara's conclusion yesterday is that we do assume that the world was created in Nisan. Okay, that's another possibility. Or the third possibility is that when it says Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, it means Din. It means that the world is going to be judged on the first day of Tishrei. Okay, and then the Mishnah went on to point out what are the other significant markers of the first day of Tishrei. Shemitah Yovel, okay, that's pretty self-evident. Nitiya, we already discussed that. That's a reference to Arla. Yerukos. And vegetables. Vegetables. The Gemara yesterday said, I pluck a vegetable the day before Rosh Hashanah. I pluck a vegetable the day after Rosh Hashanah or the day of Rosh Hashanah itself, which, as we spoke out quickly yesterday, that's a malacha. But the point is that when I pluck a vegetable out of the ground, that's the year it's connected to. When it comes to vegetables, vegetables follow Lakita. Their assignment in terms of which year they belong to is predicated on when I pluck them out of the ground. That's as we pointed out yesterday. So that and the marker is going to be Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah meaning first day of Tishrei. Okay. We quoted a Brisa yesterday, and the Brisa pointed out that also the first day of Tishrei marks the Rosh Hashanah for Nidarim. What does that mean? That's what we're up to. And this is what we're picking up in the Gemara. When Yud Beis Amud Beis, we're at the two dots. It's about two-thirds down on the Amud. And the Gemara continues, Tanur Rabbanim, we learned Tanur Braisa, Amudar Haname Chavero. Person had it with his friend. That's it, I'm not getting any benefit from my friend. Makes a neder to the effect that he's not getting any benefit from his friend. He's now bound by his neder that he cannot get Hana'a. So, and he says, Lishana. And he says, that's it, a whole year. That's it, I'm taking a break. Me and him, no more for a year. So monish demasar chodesh miyom liyom. So obviously, like all nedarim, it's binding. His neder has significance, legal significance, and he can't get benefit. Now the fact that he says lishana, meaning it's there for the entire year, date to date, calendaric date. V'yemamar lishana zu. But if he says not shana, but lishana zu, the rest of this year, I've had it with him. That's it. I'm not going to get any benefit from the rest of this year. You could be on the 29th day of Elul. And then you get to the first day of Tishrei, which is only about one day later. That's it. Year is over. Neder is lifted. So now the Gemara points out, this is not, this is Nedarim. And remember, we have one guiding principle throughout all of Nedarim, and that is that Nedarim follow Lashon B'nei Adam. We look at the way language is spoken, the normal usage of language, the normal meaning of language, and that's generally how we understand and interpret Nedarim. And the Gemara makes this point right now. Afilu mandam yom chabashana eino chashuv shana. Now remember, we had a big debate. One day of a year, is that considered a whole year? Or do you need 30 days of a year? So that, as we pointed out, that's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. But the Gemara says, but that's not germane to this discussion. Because over here, let's do nafsheka bilalaya. Vaid starlay. Over here, he just wanted, he wanted a little aesthetic life. He wanted to not get benefit from such an individual. Okay, so he got it. Happens to be only one day. But over here, it's Nedarim. And we follow what people usually say. And usually end of the year means Rosh Hashanah. Ve'ema Nisan, the Gemara says, Benadarim, halacha achar lashon b'nei Adam. It's not Nisan, it's a neder. We follow what people normally mean. And people normally mean when they say the year, until the year's over, they mean Rosh Hashanah. Look, that's how we talk. In other words, when we say, when's Rosh Hashanah? All of us are only thinking about one date in mind. That's the first day of Tishrei. The Gemara says, that's it. That's what we're considering. Tanan Hasam. Okay, and here we go. We are going to be learning together a number of Mishnayos today and tomorrow and Friday. We are, for the next 3 days, we're going to be discussing Inyanei Zeraim. Okay, a little bit of Zeraim comes up in our Gemara. Look, as we've already discussed, our Mishnah marks that the first day of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for Shemitah, for Yovel, and in terms of Netiyah in Arla. And so, and right, that's all, and yarukos, I'm sorry, and vegetables. So that means that vegetables that are plucked out before Rosh Hashanah are assigned to the previous year. Vegetables that are plucked after Rosh Hashanah are assigned to this year. And so what we're going to be doing over the course of the next 3 days of Gemara is basically learning some really basic concepts regarding Zeraim. So we have over here a Mishnah. It's one of the first Mishnahs in Masechta Masros, and the Mishnah teaches us, Hatilson. When I have tilson, okay, I know there's an English word for it. I think it's called fenugreek. Okay, whatever that means. Okay, mishetitzmach atvua. I'm sorry, mishetitzmach. What year is it connected to? Again, the basic idea is that when the grain grows in the field, when the fruit grows on the tree, when the vegetables grow in the ground, so they are connected to a year, as we discussed in yesterday's daf. I need to know which year to connect it to, because every year has varying degrees of Trumas and Maestros. Years 1 and 2, 4 and 5, Truma Gedola, Maestro Rishon, Maestro Sheni. In year 3 and 6, Truma Gedola, Maestro Rishon, Maestro Ani. Furthermore, another reason why we need to know what year it's assigned to is over the fact that even if it's year 1 and 2, I can't take Trumas and Maestros on grains that grow in year number 2 over grains that grew in year number 1. Years need to be kept separate from one another for Trumas and Maestros. And so now the question is very simple. How do we make the determination of what year we're assigning it to? When exactly is that fruit connected to that year? That's going to be our big discussion over the course of today. And as we're going to see, it depends. Depends on whether we're talking about fruit or vegetables or what we'll call kidneys. Okay, that's later on. And then, of course, the big three. And I say the big three, I mean, I know here in Miami, grain, oil, and wine. Okay, those are the big three. Now, I say they're the big three. Why? So let's take a look at our Rashi. First of all, I'm sorry, let me finish the Mishnah first, and then, huh? We'll get to it. So Atilson, Mishetitzmach, so when it comes to fenugreek, so what year am I connecting it to? Mishetitzmach. When it sprouts. I'll give a better definition of what that means in just a moment. And then when it comes to tvu and zeis, when it comes to grain and olives, Mishayaviu Shlish. When it gets to a third ripe. Meaning that there's an assumption that there's the grains and the olives, and for that matter the grapes. I'll show you where the grapes are, even though you don't see it in the Mishnah. But the grains, the olives, the grapes, they're going to get to a certain size, and then they're going to stop. So once they get to a third of that size, that's the year they're connected to. on the tree. Now for Trumas and Maisros. Meaning it's olives, it's grapes, and that's it. Meaning not the other fruits. Now, first of all, let's just, what does it mean, Mishititzmach? What is that for when it comes to Tilson? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Acher Shanatz Michaso, Humitaser, Velo Acher Shanan Likitaso. So Rashi just simply says, Smichaso, it's sprouting. If you take a look, I'm sorry, Mishititzmach Lizraim, next Rashi, Shehazeret Samech Betocho. Meaning when the fenugreek is developed enough, you don't pluck it off the ground. Meaning it's the sign to the year where it is developed to the point in which the seeds in the fenugreek are developed enough where it itself can germinate. So in other words, when the seeds in the fenugreek are potent enough where if I were to plant them, they would create more. So at that point in time, we are now considering them assigned to this particular year. Okay, so that's the story with Tilson, or the story with fenugreek. Now, but let's get to the main point, and that is the second half of this Mishnah. It's a short Mishnah of Tefuin Zaysim. When it comes to Tefuin Zaysim, so the Mishnah says the marker of that of the grains and grapes, grains and olives is when it develops the third. So first of all, let's take a look at Rashi. Tvua, Dagon Vitirosh. Rashi writes that when the Mishnah says Tvua, it's a reference to grain and it's a reference to grapes. Now you understand why Rashi says that. Because, well, if you don't understand, I'll explain in just a moment. But basically because Rashi is always working with the assumption, that min ha-Torah, strictly according to biblical law, one only takes off Trumas and Maisros off of only grains, grapes, and olives. Nothing else min ha-Torah. Even other fruit are not chayiv in Trumas and Maisros min ha-Torah, only midirabanan. Watch Rashi. Rashi says, first of all, dichsev kitvus garden kitvus yakev, because you'll see that when the Torah describes, when the Torah describes Trumas and Maisros, it says the grains of the garden and tvus yakev, and the grains of the yakev. The yakev is the vineyard. So in other words, you see that the Torah itself describes the grapes as well as the grains as tvua. So when the Mishnah says tvua, it's referring to grapes and grains. Zaysim, obviously, that's a reference to oil. Yitzar, Rashi. Mishiavi Ushlish, Mitasar Nachar Shana Shigiabo Lishlish, Bishulam, Imshnia, Imshlishis. So basically, the year that we're assigning it to is when it gets to a third developed. Now.
But are they all the same size? Is that a standard?
There's an assumption of a standard size. There is that assumption. Well, later on, we'll quibble a little bit in terms of when exactly that size is, but that's right now the Mishnah in Maisros. It's the third Mishnah in. Now, my Mishatitz, Machzor Gemara says Mishatitz Lachl Lizraim. Okay, like we already described, I should have read the Gemara before I read the Rashi, fine. But when we're talking about the Tilson, the fenugreek, so it means when the seeds are potent enough where it itself can germinate. Where do I know this? Where do I know that when it comes to grapes, olives, and grain, the mark in which we're going to assign it to a year is going to be where the fruit is a third developed. Now, again, I want to go back to Rashi, because Rashi over here, it's fundamental. Rashi writes, Atvua v'azetim kai, the meiser did who? The oraisa. Rashi says that when it comes to the meiser of it, of grains, grapes, and olives, it's a din d'oraisa. Ominalan d'basar shlishazle d'ilu yarugzazle b'rabanan barsalikita. You see, everything else does have a different marker, designed by the Chachamim, because the obligation to take off Trumas and Maisros is from the Chachamim. Rashi says, when it comes to vegetables, we follow l'kita, the time that I pluck it from the ground. Ilan, now when it comes to trees, meaning fruit trees, any fruit tree, azabasar chanata, there follows the budding. And Rashi says, and the Meiser for these are a din d'rabbanan. Rashi writes, therefore, what you're not going to find in the Gemara is the Gemara is not going to ask the question, minalan. Where do I know that for vegetables it's lakita? The answer is, you're not going to find in the Torah. What about fruit? How do I know that for fruit it's basar chanata? Once again, you're not going to find that in the Torah. Why not? Because Rashi says, min ha-Torah, the only obligation to take off Trumas and Maisros is only for olives, grapes, and grains. We've gone over this a number of times. It's always good to review. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam is of the opinion that all fruit, not vegetables, all fruit are chayv and chumas are maestros, min haTorah. Not midrabbanan, but rather min haTorah. Okay, as we'll see over these courses in the next couple of days, Rashi already brings a proof for his position, and a good one. Meaning, when the Gemara asks me Nalan, from where do I see this in the Torah, the Gemara is only referring to grains and olives. The Gemara is not giving a source in the Torah for the other fruit. Okay, so that is a good support for Rashi. There is good support for the Rambam as well. I mean, this is the kind of machlokas where you look around and you'll be able to catch supports for Rashi, supports for the Rambam, meaning there's a built-in ambiguity in this discussion, which lends itself to a debate between Rashi and Rambam on this issue. Practically speaking, I mean, what are we talking about? Meaning, if there's an obligation to take off Trumas and Maisos on fruit, it's just a question of Daraisa Durabanan. It would impact, I guess, on Safek and on, you know, all the basic practical differences between a Daraisa and Durabanan. Anyway, back to the Gemara. Okay, I know I stopped in the middle of the Rashi, but let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Minahani Mili, I'm sorry, when it comes to grains and olives, it's when they get to a third developed. So, and that's the year that it's assigned to. Minahani Mili, the Gemara says, what's the source? So this is now attempt number one. This is going to be a long attempt. Meaning we are looking for a source in the Torah that tells us that when grains and olives and grapes get to a third developed, that's the year that's assigned to. How do I, and by that we mean by Rosh Hashanah. Right, because remember, the significant time for Trumas HaMaisos is going to be Rosh Hashanah. So how do I know that it is a shlish? That's a third developed in terms of the marking point of what year I assign it to. The Gemara is going to go through a first attempt in terms of generating a source. This attempt will take us through the entirety of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara is good. We're going to spend a little bit of time on this first one, even though I'm telling you right now from the beginning, we're going to. It's not going to be a successful attempt, but it's an attempt nevertheless. So the Gemara starts off. It said in the name of Yosef Glila Amakram Mikeshav Hashanim Bamoed Shnas Hashmita Bechag HaSukkos. At the end of 7 years. On Moed, on Yantiv, Shnas HaShemitah, in the Shemitah year, on Sukkos. So obviously the Pasuk is unbelievably confusing. Meaning it's after the Shemitah year, it's Sukkos. What just happened? How could it be after the Shemitah year? Meaning Shemitah year is come and gone. As we already pointed out, Shemitah year ends on Rosh Hashanah, begins on Rosh Hashanah, ends on Rosh Hashanah, actually the day before Rosh Hashanah, meaning Rosh Hashanah of the 8th year now is considered the 8th year, and somehow the Torah is describing 15 days later, we're still in the Shemitah year. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Shnas HaShemitah, Maya Vidate, the Gemara asks exactly this question. Like, what are we talking about? Bechag HaSukkah Shminasi. If we're already on Sukkot, that's 15 days after Rosh Hashanah, so that means that we are in the 8th year. Ella lomer lacha kol tvua sheviu shlish b'shvius lifnei Rosh Hashanah atanoig bo minag shvius bashminis. So the Gemara says, here's what the Torah is teaching us. Torah is teaching us is that any grape, olive, grain that has arrived at a third developed on the tree, on the ground, is going to be associated with that year. So now when you get to Sukkos, so those fruit that were on the tree, I say fruit, I mean, let's work with Rashi. The grapes and the olives and the grains that were on the tree, that were in the ground, they're going to be connected, they're going to be associated, as long as they were a third developed before Rosh Hashanah, to the Shemitah year. So the Gemara says, we're on the topic of Gimel. So the Gemara says, maybe that's not the pshat at all in the Pasuk. Like, let's consider. Maybe the Pasuk is teaching us something totally different, which is, maybe all the Torah is teaching us is that when you get to the end of the 7th year, Shemitah's not over. And when is Shemitah over? After Sukkos. Maybe that's what the Torah is telling us. So the Gemara says, Lo Sakadak. The Gemara says, no, it's not even up for consideration. Why? Because the Torah says that in the harvest, the Chag HaAsif, at the Tzeis HaShana, at the end of the year. Meaning the Torah describes that when we get to the Sukkos after Shemitah, we're harvesting. We're harvesting. If what you're saying or suggesting is so, that Shemitah extends, and Shemitah goes up to and the Sukkos after the seventh year, who's harvesting? You're not allowed to harvest. And my Asif, now the Gemara here establishes that when the Torah describes the Yontif of Sukkot says Chag HaAsif, what does that mean? Ilam Chag HaBizman Asifa. Is it just a description of Yontif? Meaning, you know when Sukkot is? Generally when people are harvesting, or gathering, I should say. Not that we're doing it this year, but that's what it means. The Gemara says, no, HaKasif, Ba'as Becham. The Gemara says, no, it already says Ba'as Becham. The Torah already gives us a description of Sukkot as being a yontif of ingathering. Elamai asif katsir. So you know what the word asif means? It means katsir. It means we're harvesting. So therefore, the Gemara says no. We're not even up for entertainment that the Shemitah year is going to extend to Sukkot. That's not so. Shemitah ends on Rosh Hashanah. The Torah says, and now I'm harvesting. But the Torah also says that the Shemitah is extending to Sukkot. So what does that mean, that the Shemitah is extending to Sukkot? It means, we're going to go back to our original suggestion, that any olives, grapes, or grain that is in the field, a third developed before Rosh Hashanah, is associated to the previous year. So that means that even when I'm harvesting them on Sukkot, I mean, obviously not on Yom Tov itself, but when I'm harvesting them around Sukkot's time, it means that they are Shemitah fruit. That's what the Torah is telling us. And what we gain from all this, and again, there's one basic goal for today, and that is that what year are we assigning the fruit to, the grains, the olives, the grapes, to when they developed a shlish, when they developed a third on the tree.
How do you know it developed a shlish?
That's a good part of today's daf. Stay tuned. Okay, it's the right question. So the Gemara says, "V'kim lehu l'rabbanan." Actually, the Gemara is going to say it right now, but you'll see it's going to be a big discussion for today. "V'kim lehu l'rabbanan dechol tzvush and nixra bechag," and the Chachamim have established, meaning they know. Okay, that's going to be a big topic of today, but they know that any tzvua, that any grain that was harvested on Sukkot, biyadua sheviyu shlish lifnei Rosh Hashanah. So it had to have been developed a third before Rosh Hashanah. Meaning impossible for us to be harvesting, to be reaping, to be cutting grain off the ground on Sukkot, which is 15 days after Rosh Hashanah, and them not at least having been a third ripe before Rosh Hashanah. Now, again, you got to speak to people who know the grain business and who know the timetable for grains and how fast they grow. But for our purposes, admittedly, I'm not knowledgeable. I know very little about this. But the Kim Lulu Rabbanan, but the Gemara says the Chachamim know, they've established that when you get to Sukkot and you're harvesting, it must be that the grains have at least been a third developed going into Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, this is our proof. This is our source that we are associating grains in a year where they're a third developed on the tree. Okay. So biyadusha v'yushlish lefnei Rosh Hashanah v'kakar lebetzetz Hashanah. All right, Amalei Rav Yirmi leRav Zera. Okay, everyone ready? Here we go. Okay, we get to challenge the Chachamim. I mean, we're not doing anything. We're reading Gemara. But in other words, here you go. Where I don't know how often this is going to come up in the Gemara. Where basically you're going to see the Chachamim challenge the Chachamim. So Amalei Rav Yirmi leRav Zera v'kim leRabbanan v'yushlish lepachus meyushlish. Really? The Chachamim know, meaning, and they can really establish that a third developed, meaning, and that assumes that there's a standard full development, and not only is there a standard full development, but we're assigning it to the year where it's a third to that point, like, and the Chachamim know all that. This is Rav Yirmiyah asking the question, right? Rav Yirmiyah, by the way, remember I told you this before about Rav Yirmiyah. The Rav Yirmiyah significantly challenged he was an Amar in Eretz Yisrael. Not only was he an Amar in Eretz Yisrael, but he was an earlier generation. like one of the first generations of Maharam in Eretz Yisrael. He felt that the learning in Eretz Yisrael was primary, and he knew about yeshivas out in Bavel, but he said regarding the yeshivas out in Bavel, they don't know much what's going on. Meaning, if you want to know where the learning is at, the learning is over here in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, he was a strong personality, Rav Yirmiyah. Okay. So the Gemara over here says he at the very same time is challenging. Well, how do the Chachamim know this? So Amar Le Lava Minalach. So Rabbi Zera says to Rabbi Yirmiyah, I'm cautioning you. Lo Tapit Nafshecha Lebar Mehilchasa. Don't get involved in these kinds of questions. Don't challenge the Chachamim. Look at Rashi. What does that mean? Don't challenge the Chachamim. Mafakfek b'shir Chachamim, meaning the Chachamim give a shir, and that's their shir, and they know. The Gemara says, "Kol midos Chachamim kenhu." Any of the midos Chachamim is such, which is ba'arbeim sahu tovo. Meaning, you want to go into a kasher mikvah. How much does a kasher mikvah need to have? 40 sa. Ba'arbeim sa chaser kortav eno yachol litbol. But if the mikvah is missing just any amount, meaning any quantitative amount less than 40 sa. Even if it's just a quart of, Rashi, Tosus over here says a quart of, it's a tiny amount, doesn't matter. Meaning once it's less than 40 saw, so then no, it's no good. Ainu yacholit bobahem. Kebetza metamitim asochlin, kebetza chaser shumshum, ainu metamitim asochlin. How much food is subject to tumas ochlin? The size of a kebetza, the volume of an egg. If it's any amount smaller than the volume of an egg, even a sesame seed smaller than an egg, than the volume of egg, so then it's not going to be mekabel tuma. Shosha metame medras. If I have a patch, a swatch of fabric that's 3x3, it's subject to tumas medras, meaning that it's a cushion, it's a seed cushion. If I have a zavar, neither you'll let it sitting down on it, it will become tame. But if it's less than shlosha chaser nima achas. Even one thread less than 3x3, and a matam medras, not subject to mas medras. Now, I'll share with you something I find interesting. I don't know if I'm making a big deal about nothing, but it is interesting. Generally speaking, when we say shiur, when we're talking about amounts, right, linear measurements, volume, we're talking about amounts, we keep saying it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. I can show you about three different rashis over here. And I'm really not faulting Rashi in the sense that really it's the Gemara that says it, that who's establishing these amounts? Sounds like from the Gemara it's the Chachamim who are doing so.
Where do they get it?
Right. I understand that. But the Chachamim are measuring.
Yeah.
I'll give you a couple of examples within Rashi. Right? Rashi, lo tapik nafshecha bar mehilchasa, Rashi over there writes, lefakfek b'shir Chachamim. The amount of the Chachamim. I'll show you another Rashi. Rashi, Kebetzas Ochlin. Right? The Rashi regarding the amount of food subject to Tumah. Tumas Ochlin. Vikimlu l'rabbanan she'ein beis abliya machzik lo pachas v'lo yos mi beitzas tarnagolim. The Chachamim have established that when it comes to the swallowing of food, the maximum that your throat can hold at one time is one egg. Right? Uksivet Tumas Ochlin mi kol ha'ochel she'yachol. Ochel ha'nechal b'vasachas. It has to be food that eaten in one amount. But again, Rashi says, who's doing the measuring? The Chachamim. I'll take a look at the next Rashi. Shoshet tfachim ha-shoshet tfachim etame medras. Shiaru Chachamim shekashir hazeh roi l'shiva. That the Chachamim measured, that's how much you need to sit on. Right? Three Rashis, right? I could show you. I did show you. Right, where Rashi over here says that the Chachamim are the ones who are sort of establishing these measurements. Okay, now, right, I'm bothered by Ben's question. Right, obviously this is the direction I'm going. Right, because the Gemara says, we saw the Gemara in Sukkah, right, at the beginning of Sukkah, Daf Vav, Daf Zayin. Gemara says that when it comes to Shirim, it's Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. Right? In other words, it's not the Chachamim that are generating the Halacha, it's Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. So, I don't know if maybe one thing we could suggest. It's a suggestion. I haven't.
We'll receive that.
I understand that, but
somebody has to interpret.
But there's no, in other words, I'm going back to the question. I was about to give an answer, but let me go back to the question. The Chachamim don't need to be Mishayer, meaning if it's Halach L'Moshe Mitzrayim, it just is. I don't need Chachamim's involvement if it's just Halach L'Moshe Mitzrayim. So it could be, again, it's just simply a suggestion. I don't know if it's accurate. I don't know if it's right. But it could be that the Halach L'Moshe Mitzrayim demands a certain... there's a certain requirement. I'll give an example in the world of tefillah, toveling in the mikvah, meaning does the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim at 40 saw? Maybe again, it's my suggestion. Maybe what the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is that you have to tovel into a mikvah where it basically encompasses your whole body. It has to be that much water where your whole body can be submerged in a body of water. The Chachamim were given those instructions, and now with that. So now they got to figure out, like, how much is that? Okay, 40 saw. And once they say 40 saw, that's it. It can't be less than 40 saw. Or I'll give you right another example, which we just saw. Right, Tumas Ochlin. Food is subject to Tumah when it's one beitzah in volume. Now, maybe what the Halach L'Moshe Mitzrayim is that the maximum amount of food that can be swallowed at one time. And then the Chachamim are there establishing what's that amount. That amount is the size of an egg. Maybe that's what the Halach L'Moshe Mitzrayim is not giving an absolute amount, it's giving a goal, a purpose. And then the Chachamim are there figuring out what the amount is. Maybe. It's a suggestion. Anyway, back to our Gemara. So remember now the basic flaw of our Gemara. Right, our Gemara is looking for a source that the year that the fruit is assigned to is the year where it develops a third. How do I know that? Minahani Mili. So the Gemara now quoted the pasuk from the end of the end of Dvarim. Mikesh Sheva Shanim. So at the end of the Shemitah year on Sukkos, when you get to Sukkos and you're harvesting on Sukkos, do you know? And the Torah says that it's the Sukkos after Shemitah. That Shemitah fruit. Why is that Shemitah fruit? Because it developed a third during the Shemitah year, and therefore it's Shemitah fruit. And then Rav Yirmiyah says, how do the Chachamim know all this? And the answer of the Gemara is, they know. Okay, that's where we're at right now in the Gemara. Hadam Rav Yirmiyah. So Rav Yirmiyah says, no, please forgive me. I didn't mean that as my question. I had a different question. So Hadam Rav Yirmiyah, love Milsi Hidamre. Right, I take it back. So, as Rashi points out, where's the Rashi? Lav milsi hidamri. Right, Rashi understands that Rav Yirmiyah is doing a total 180. I know the Chachamim know what they're doing. That wasn't my question. My question is, Omer shehi krivu Yisrael b'chnisa sam la'aretz. Mehechan ikrivu. Okay, we come into Eretz Yisrael. The date that we go into Eretz Yisrael, 10th day of Nisan. Five short days later after, we're talking about Yoshua. Five short days later after we go into Eretz Yisrael, actually four short days later, if you want to be more accurate, we're offering the Karban Pesach. Okay, so, from where? Okay, the Gemara has over here a different question. If we're going into Eretz Yisrael and it's the 10th day of Nisan, now that means then that on the 16th day of Nisan, we're bringing the Karban Omer. And we need to bring the Karban Omer so that all the grains that grew in the previous year are going to be mutter. We know that grains that grew over the course of the year cannot be eaten until you bring the Karban Omer on the second day of Pesach, on the 16th day of Nisan. Where did they get these grains from? Rav Yirmiyah says, that's my question. So the Gemara says, well, maybe they grew under non-Jewish control, right? In other words, the Eretz Yisrael was inhabited prior to our arrival. And so maybe we just simply took their grain. So the Gemara says, okay, it has to be your grain. We have to be the growers of the grain. So where did we get the grains from? And me, my dad, akrivu demalo akrivu. And the Gemara says, you know, it's a funny question, so built on an assumption. Maybe we didn't offer. So the Gemara says, lo sagadacha, dechziv ayachlu me'avor arts, me'machar esa pesach. Gemara says, no, We know that we offer the carbon omer. Why? Because the Torah says that we ate me'avur ha'aretz as we crossed into the land. When do we start eating? Mimacharas ha'pesach, the day after Pesach. And the Gemara makes a very simple diuk. Mimacharas ha'pesach ha'chol, mi'kar lo achol. It was only the second day of Pesach that we ate, but the day before that, any day before that, we didn't eat. So da'akriv omer. Vahada achli, meaning, and let's now make the argument. Well, why are we waiting until the day after Pesach to eat? Oh, because we had to bring the carbon omer. And only after we brought the carbon omer, then and only then we were allowed to eat. So now, back to the question, mehechan hikrivu. So where do we get the grains in order to bring the carbon omer, especially when you consider the fact that the grains have to be ours? And we come into Eretz Yisrael on the 10th day of Nisan, so how can you have grains on the 10th day of Nisan already be offer that we're growing, and you can offer them 6 days later on the second day of Pesach? How's that happening? Okay, pause over here in the Gemara. We're going to address the question in just a moment. Let's ask a question. I don't know how many times this happens in Tosfos. Tosfos over here quotes the Evan Ezra. Okay, Evan Ezra, one of the classic commentaries on Chumash. I don't know enough history to tell you. Like, when Evan Ezra was what, 13th century?
Maybe even earlier?
Okay. But Tosfos is quoting him, so Tosfos quotes the Evan Ezra. But this is a point, and we've made this point in the Daf many times before, but it's such a good question. The Evan Ezra says, I'm not totally following what's happening right now in the Gemara. The Gemara is making a diuk in the Pasuk in Yoshua that they only ate after the day after Pesach, and as a result of that, the assumption is that they had to have brought the carbon omer, because otherwise, why they wait until the day after Pesach? Okay, we made this point before, but let's make it again. Pesach is not Pesach. I'm not trying to be confusing, but Pesach is not Pesach. All of us always operate with the assumption that when we say Pesach, we're referring to what is Chag HaMatzos. It's not. Pesach is the 14th day of Nisan. Pesach is when we offer the carbon Pesach. Right, I told you. One of the biggest misconceptions is that when we learn Pesachim, we're learning all about Chag HaMatzos. No, we're not. Most of the Masechta is talking about the 14th day of Nisan when we're offering the carbon Pesach.
11th, 12th century.
Huh?
11th.
He was 11th, 12th. All right, so he's early. Okay, good. Well, it works. I assume it works out well. So Pesach is the 14th day of Nisan. So when the Pasuk in Yehoshua says, and we ate the day after Pesach, you know what that's a reference to? That's a reference to the 15th day of Nisan. What we call Pesach, but that's not Pesach. That's Chag HaMatzos. That's Yontif. So it's a funny deal the Gemara is making. You see, we waited till the day after Pesach. That's not the 16th day of Nisan. That's the 15th day of Nisan. How is the Gemara assuming that we're talking about the 16th day of Nisan? That's the Evan Ezra's question. Meaning, how come the Gemara over here is assuming that we're talking about now the 16th day when, accurately spoken, it's actually a reference to the 15th day? Tosfos over here gives a number of answers. One of the answers that Tosfos gives to this question is, well, you're right. We offer the Karban Pesach on the 14th, but when do we eat it? We eat it at night, which is the 15th. So maybe one of the answers of Tosos. So maybe what the Gemara means is that it's the day after the eating of the Karban Pesach. Okay. Anyway.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
If it says Kitzir Fem, Amarach, one of a look, Kitzir Net Nokri, right?
Right.
How could we come up with the concept of Yashan applying to non-Jews harvest?
Oh, that's its own separate issue, meaning whether or not Yashan applies to grains of a non-Jew. Understood. The Gemara Kedushin discusses that. The end of the first parak. Like in the Laman area. Okay, anyway.
Set up the one third.
No, but it's not the... Yeah, the Rebbeim did it. But in other words, it's a Torah halacha.
So, yeah, but visually and practically, the farmer, how would you know that one third of wine came up? Like,
I think if you and I were farmers, I think the question would be obvious. I think so. I mean, I don't know. So the Gemara, I don't know. So anyway, we're back to our question. So our question is, where did they get the grains to offer the carbon omer? So, mehechani krivo. So Amalem, we're back in the Gemara, we're on We're more than halfway down. So the Gemara says it's very simple. I know that, very simple. But if the grains were not a third developed in the hands of a Nachri, so then we don't associate it to the Nachri. Just like we've been starting off today's daf by saying that the year that a grain is assigned to is where it got to the point of a third, in terms of years for Meiser, the same thing could be said regarding who's considered its owner. So as long as we took assumption of the land, took the land before Havar Shlish, so now we can properly say that the grain belongs to us. So the Gemara says, V'dama ayavalokim lahu. So the now Rav Yirmiyah, it's so funny. After having said, I'm not challenging, but here's what I'm asking. But here's what I'm asking. Sounds a little passive aggressive. But here's what I'm asking. How do they know? Meaning, how do we know that when we came and we took the land on, that the grains in here in question did not arrive at a third under non-Jewish control? That's what I'm wondering.
But the side of the question is that it must have grown really, really fast if it wasn't one
right.
Third.
Right. So, okay, good. Hold on, because that's Gemara's very next point. So the Gemara says, V'lo kimlu, ela kimlu, achanami kimlu. So the Gemara says, again, what are you doing? You're asking whether, how do they know? Again, they know. So, right, it's a very strange Gemara. Rav Yirmiyah challenges, they said to Rav Yirmiyah, oh, don't do that. He's like, oh, you're right. Okay, I'm not going to challenge. But let me challenge. and then they say to him, no, don't do that. And okay, fine. V'dilma lo ayol klal, aval hecha da ayol riva, bein shlish l'pachos mishlish l'kim lehu. So the Gemara says, V'dilma lo ayol klal, aval hecha da ayol riva, bein shlish l'pachos mishlish l'kim lehu. So the Gemara says, look, maybe it got to a quarter of its development, or danka, or six of its development. But the point is that it's hard to gauge the difference between a quarter and a third. So the Gemara says, lo sakadak. The Gemara says, no, none of this should really be entertained. We cross the Jordan River on the 10th day of Nisan. So the Gemara says, look, now we're talking about 5 days. In 5 days, we're not going from nothing to a third. Meaning, if we're coming on the 10th day of Nisan, and already by the 15th day of Nisan, we need to find grains to harvest, we'll know what has arrived at the third, what has not arrived at the third. Elamai, da'ayol rivau, danka, akati b'chamisha yomim, mikamalya. So the Gemara says, okay, but now, let's ask the question the other direction. Good. We came in the 10th of Nisan. We know what has arrived at the third, what hasn't arrived at the third. We got that. But now the Gemara says, look, we need grains that when we got into Eretz Yisrael, we're not a third, so then we could associate it to ours. But at the same time, on the 16th day of Nisan, we're offering them as fully developed grains, and that's happening in 5 days. So the Gemara says, "Ela mai isach lememar eretzvi ksivba hachanami eretzvi ksivba." So the Gemara says, "Look, it's Eretz Yisrael. It's called Eretz Tzvi." Rashi describes Eretz Tzvi, "Matzvi kal beraglav mikol hachayot af Eretz Yisrael kal levashal perisel mikol haaretzos." Okay, everything's accelerated in Eretz Yisrael. Everything's faster, right? It doesn't operate under normal developmental guidelines, but everything is just simply accelerated. And now the Gemara is saying, basically, it can happen. It can happen where we get to Eretz Yisrael, the grains are not a third, therefore they're associated to us, and by the time we need to bring the carbon omer on the 16th day of Nisan, they will be fully developed. The Gemara says that's possible. So, Maskev l'Rabbi Chanino mi'matzisama d'hayasif katsirhu. And now here we go, we're going to question the entire approach. Meaning, good. So we had Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah attempted to challenge. We rebutted his challenge. He attempted again. We rebutted that as well. But still, when all said and done, Havad Shlish is the point where we're connecting a fruit to the year. As long as it's gone to a third of its development, it's associated to that year. How do we know that? We quote the pasuk where the Torah describes Sukkos as being Asif, and we assume that Asif means Katsir. The Gemara says, I didn't like your assumption altogether. The Gemara says, remember, we talked about this back in Sukkos. I have to put schach on top of my sukkah. What am I using as schach? Go out to the field. You harvested whatever's left over after the harvest. The vines, all that. You're going to take all that left over in the field, that leftover foliage and vegetation, and you'll throw it up on top of your sukkah. And the Torah describes it as aspecha, whatever's that which you're bringing in. That's not a reference to harvest. That's a reference to the ingathering, what you're bringing in. So therefore, the whole assumption was predicated on the whole limud was predicated on the fact that asif means harvest, and that we're harvesting after Shemitah. Not necessarily. The word asif simply means to gather in. And now back to square one. How do I know that when it comes to grapes, olives, and grains, the year that it's connected to is the year that it gets to a third developed? So this is now the Gemara just simply laments how we spent an entire Amud going over a source, and we lost it. And the Gemara just spends a line of lamenting. I'm Rabbi Zera Hamil Sahava Biadan. Rabbi Zera says we had this firmly in our hands. Vasa Rabbi Chanina Shara Bei Narga. And Rabbi Chanin, it took a monkey wrench and threw it right into the entire machine and destroyed everything. Meaning, okay, we no longer have our first approach. Ela minalan. Here we go now, approach number two. Our second approach in terms of how we know that everything is based on shlish.
No.
That was a side conversation. That was Rav Yirmiya on the side asking shlish. How do we know? Who knows? How do the chachamim generate that? That was a sidebar. But the main point is, where do we see in the Torah that shlish is a significant marking point? So we tried quoting a pasuk earlier. The Gemara now is moving on to another pasuk. So Elamin Alan Kedetanya Rav Yonasan Ben Yosef Omer Va'asasa Esatvua Lishalosh Shanim. Go back to Parshas Bahar, where we're going to find a lot of our Shemitah talk. The Torah there says, here we go, we're going to go into Shemitah year. Wow. In other words, right, this is the Torah's description. I'm going to need, during that sixth year, enough grain to last me for this year, next year, and the year after that as well. Shemitah we're not planting, and we're only planting after the Shemitah year, which means that we have to still wait for another full harvest in order to... So, and I need the grains that grow in the sixth year to last me seventh and eighth.
And there's a yovel.
And if there's a yovel, it even goes further. So the Torah says to us, relax. It's going to work. The Torah says, Rav Yonasan ben Yosef Amar v'asasa tfu l'shalosh shanim. The grain will last for 3 years. Al tikre l'shalosh ela l'shlish. So the Gemara darshins, don't read a shalosh, but rather read a shlish. So the Gemara says, hold on 1 second. Vahami baile lugufe. Gemara says, what are you doing? I can darshan if the pasuk is superfluous. If the pasuk is telling me information that I already knew, so then we have a right to darshan. I mean, we have a right. I mean, then the chachamim darshan. But I need the pasuk to tell me that there's going to be enough grain for 3 years. So the Gemara says, "Ksiv krachrina." No, we have another pasuk. Uzratem es hashanash minis va'achaltem natzvua yashan. And Hashanah cheese. No, I already have a pasuk that tells me that we're going to plant during the eighth year, and you're going to eat from the old grains, I mean the grains that we planted, you know, in year six, and Hashanah cheese until the ninth year. Meaning, we already have a pasuk that basically says relax. So once we have the relaxed pasuk, so then we can go back to the pasuk of shlish v'asisa tefua l'shalosh shanim, and we can do a kriyat ksiv. Al tikrei shalosh. Elishlish. And that's how we know that when the grains arrive at a third, that's the year that's connected to. Tanan Hasam. Okay, we are going to, let's do one more Mishnah for today, and one more Limud for today. Ha'orez, v'haduchan, v'hapargan, v'hashum shemin, shehi shrishu. If I have rice and millet and other types of kitnias, I don't know what they are. Okay, they're the legumes of the legume family. They need to get shelled. So shehi shrishu, if they took root before Rosh Hashanah, so then they are connected to the previous year. Umutarim umatar and b'shviyas, and therefore they'd be permitted during the Shemitah year. Because permitted meaning they don't have kedusha shviyas. V'im lav asur and b'shviyas umatar asur l'shana haba. But if not, so then they would be prohibited for Shemitah and mitasul l'shana haba, and they would be connected to the following year. Meaning, now when it comes to kidneyus, so what is going to be the significant point? The year that it's assigned to? Hashrasha. When it takes roots. When it takes root. To which I'm a Rabbanan. So Rabba says, wow, I'm lost. I am lost in this whole discussion. Why? Because Ilam Basar Chanata. Because trees goes follows the blooding, the blossoming. And Tvua Vizes and Basar Shlish. And grains and olives and grapes follow a third, like we just established. And Yerik Basar Lakita. And vegetables follow the time they're plucked out of the ground. Meaning, there are three different categories. Either you're a vegetable, lakita, plucking from the ground. You're a grain, grape, or olive, shlish, when it gets to a third ripened. You're a fruit on a tree, chanata, the blossoming. That's it. And now, where did
Hashrasha?
Well, yeah, we have a new. What do we have? A new category? Hashrasha. I know. It feels like okay. Okay, fine. So Yerik Basar Lakita. Hani Kama Shavino Rabbanan. So where the Chachamim get this from? Hadam Rava Mitoch Shasui and Prachin Azle Rabbanan Basar Shrasha. So the Gemara's answer is Phil's answer. Yes, it's a different category. It's a new category. Kidneys follow Hashrasha. Why? Rashi explains. I mean, the Gemara says it, but Rashi explains more. Because when it comes to kidneys, they all need to get shelled.
Mm-hmm.
Your peas in the pod, your rice, your millet, they all need to get shelled. What's going to happen is you're going to bring it into your storehouse, and they all don't come in at the same time. And now, if we follow Lakita, they don't all get plucked out of the ground at the same time. They all do get shelled at the same time. Now, why is that significant? Because if I just simply pluck it out of the ground and they all plucked at different times, so now I'm going to have a silo with kidneys of last year mixed in with kidneys of this year. That's no good. When you take off Trumas and Maisos, you have to keep the year separated. If we follow the shelling, since the shelling all happens at one point in time, so now we're going to have one uniform silo of either last year or this year, whenever we shell. Now, how can the Chachamim do that? How can they change the rules?
It's
not a gezerah. How can they change the rules? Answer is very simple. Because the obligation to take off Trumas and Maisos off of kidneys to begin with is a din derabanan. It's not a, I don't know if it's a gezerah, it's a takana. And so therefore, when establishing what would be the most beneficial, the most prudent way to do so, so the Chachamim said shelling is going to be a better marker. So that's why the Chachamim follow its shelling. It's Hashrasha as going to be the marker and not when we pluck it out of the ground, because then we're just going to have a mix and match of this year and last year. Okay, and that's so basically answer to the question. Answer to the question is, it's a fourth category. Okay, so quickly let's summarize. Let's conclude. Neder, Rosh Hashanah, Nedarim follow Lashem Bnei Adam. We all refer to the first day of Tishrei as a new year. Then the Mishnah in Masros, the third Mishnah in Masros, that when it comes to grains, olives, grapes, it follows the Shlish. When the fruit has gone or the grain has gone to a third developed, that's the year that it's assigned to, vis-a-vis Shumos HaMaisros. How do we know that? So today's daf, we basically went through two proofs. One proof was the fact that the Torah referred to Sukkos after Shemitah as being Shemitah produce. That's one possibility. The Gemara ended up not liking it because the word asif doesn't mean harvest. The word asif means ingathering. Fine. And then we quote another pasuk in Parshas Bahar that Vasisa es atvua l'shalosh shanim atikrei shalosh elishlish. Another possible source. And then the discussion of kidneys. Kidneys is its own separate category. The fruit tree, chanata, vegetables, lakita, grains, olives, and grapes, shlish. And now actually there's a fourth category, and that's legumes, that's your kidneys, and that's when they take root.